Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us as we face the issues each and every day. We're delighted in this Christmas season to be able to talk about some things today that I believe would be good news. In fact, may I quote the scripture, good news to all people. That's the text found in the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verse 10 and 11. The scripture says, and the angel said unto the shepherds, said unto them, speaking to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. That's news, good news, of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, this Christmas celebration, Christmas season, may I say to you, it is the communication of the good news. It's old news, but good news to all people that should bring great joy. And so I'm prayerful that during our Christmas season, you're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as the good news that brings great joy to all people. Around the globe, Christmas is being celebrated, some in different fashions, different ways. Some I personally would disagree with the form and style, but nevertheless, we find the globe celebrating Christmas, Christ's birthday. May I say to you today, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And it's my prayer today that as we celebrate Christmas, we will do so in the recognition of who Jesus Christ is. So we're talking about today, good news to all people. I have Pastor Davis with me. We're looking forward to the dialogue and discussion with a discussion that I believe will be informative and encouraging to each and every one of us. Let me remind you as we face the issues on this broadcast each and every day, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And so I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll see today as we talk about the celebration of the birth of Jesus as coming from the truth book. It is the truth that endures forever. And ladies and gentlemen, as most people today reject the truth and refuse to hear the truth, it is my delight to say to you, just as the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I pray that that's your approach today. I pray that as we speak about the truth of who Jesus Christ is, as we speak about the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ's birth is good news to all people that should bring great joy. And so I say, ladies and gentlemen, today as we celebrate this wonderful season called Christmas, that I am prayerful that you know Christ as Savior, that you can celebrate his birth in knowing him personally, firsthand. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Times knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. There's an identifier, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the children of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Pastor Davis with me today, but before we start our dialogue and discussion about this very important subject, I'm calling it good news to all people, and the good news is the celebration of the birth of Christ. But I want to read to you from one of my favorite books, just a introductory thought. I'm looking at a book called Elemental Theology. It's by Emory Bancroft. It's on the doctrines of the Bible from a conservative viewpoint. On page 121, it deals with it. It's the beginning of the doctrine of Christology, the doctrine of the study of Christ. Emory Bancroft says this. He was a renowned theologian in his day. This book, Elemental Theology, is the outgrowth of his teaching systematic theology for about 42 years in Bible college and seminary. And he begins the chapter on the doctrine of Christology, the study of Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus Christ is the central figure in all the world's history. The world cannot forget him while it remembers history. For history is his story. To leave him out would be like astronomy without stars. It would be like botany without flowers. Horace Bushnell, another yesteryear famous name in theology, said this, it would be easier to untwist all the beams of light in the sky and to separate and erase one of the primary colors than to get the character of Jesus Christ out of this world. He goes on to say, ladies and gentlemen, and I like this, you may have Confucianism without Confucius. You may have Buddhism without Buddha, Islam without Muhammad, Mormonism without Joseph Smith. You can have Christian Science without Mary Baker Eddy, but you cannot have Christianity without Jesus Christ. And I commend that to you, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the celebration of Christmas. Pastor Davis, thank you for being here, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. And I pray that our listeners will rejoice in the privilege of celebrating Jesus' birthday.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for allowing me to be here with you, as always, on Fridays. Amen. That we can discuss the Word of God and to share with the other believers out there. Amen. I want to say good morning to my bride of 36 years, to all my family and friends that are listening on today. Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. Let every heart prepare him room.
That's right.
Amen. That's one of the verses in the very popular song that we all sing, Joy to the World.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He is that joy. He is the reason why we can celebrate this season, Dr. Yes. Youngblood, and I'm so thankful for that. But so if you don't have Christ in your life on today, prepare room for him in
Amen.
Your heart.
Amen.
That he can come into your life.
You're touching on that, and I think about the text in Luke's Gospel, the 7th chapter, where it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being born in a stable. And on one occasion, someone says, well, you know, isn't that sad that Jesus was born in a stable? Well, lambs are born in stables, and Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
That takes away the sin of the world. And so, therefore, he was born in the right place. And I find it intriguing, satisfying, and challenging when we understand how the sovereign hand of God
Amen.
Brought that about,
Amen.
Where Mary and Joseph had to go for taxation to register for taxing. And that brings up a thought in my mind, Pastor. I was listening to a voice on this same network Steve Greggs, I believe his name is, and he has a call-in broadcast program, and someone called in and said, well, if Mary and Joseph, and that person that called in said, well, Mary was probably 13, 14 years old. Well, she wasn't 13 or 14. I think she might have been a teenager, an older teenager, but nevertheless, that was the caller that made that statement. And she said, by her being so young, why didn't her parents go to register for taxing rather than her having to go?
Amen.
And why didn't Joseph's parents go rather than Joseph having to go? And that was what I would call an ignorant question. By the way, that's just my thinking in relationship to it. But this radio call-in preacher host rambled for about 5 minutes, couldn't find an answer. And he said, well, you know, we don't know. But Mary and Joseph's father and mothers could have gone rather than him having to go. And he goes into a diatribe that is extraneous to Scripture. He goes into a diatribe that tells me that he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to answering questions about biblical truth. And I was saddened by that, because it is very, very clear that it's because the reason they had to go is because the sovereign hand of God that brings about the fulfillment of Scripture where Jesus would be born.
Amen. Amen.
And if Mary's parents had gone to register for taxation rather than Mary going, Jesus would not have been born in the city of Bethlehem.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Where the word of God in the Old Testament prophetic text says that he would be born. And so therefore, that's the answer. That's the biblical answer. But if you're rambling and don't know the answer, then it can cause confusion. And that's the reason I'm concerned about that particular voice being on the air, by the way.
Amen.
And,
Amen. But you know, Dr. Youngblood, in addition to what you just got finished saying, I thank God because he is a God of order. Amen. Everything he says in his word is certainly going to come to pass. And if we need to know anything, all we have to do is read his word in order to bear witness to what he has already said. Because the prophets prophesied even before time. And as I said, when Jesus came on the scene, he began to fulfill all those prophecies that were already written. So then there's no reason for us to stagger and stumble in unbelief on today.
That's right.
Because we have the written word, amen, as proof that what God said that he would do, he has already done.
Absolutely.
And then he's going to do it in the future. So therefore, I advise you to look for him to come the second time.
Amen.
Amen, because he said he's coming back.
In fact, I'm told, and I'm not counted him, so I can't affirm that, I'm told that over 330 prophecies in the Scripture about the first coming of Jesus were all fulfilled. And if that is the case, and it is, then every prophecy about his second coming will be fulfilled just as God's word has said it is.
Amen.
But Pastor, I'm interested in and delighted with the text in that Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, speaking to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
So as we celebrate, ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas season, I believe that the text is communicating to us and saying this, that Jesus' birth is good news. It is good news. It's to all people. That means every ethnic group, every geographical location, for all people, which should bring great joy. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, we must admit that at this Christmas season, there are a number of people around the world that do not have great joy. And may I suggest, Pastor Davis, for the benefit of our listeners today, that I believe the reason that there's a deficit of that joy is because of not knowing Jesus Christ as Savior
Amen.
And as Lord.
Amen.
Many will celebrate Christmas as the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm prayerful that that's what you're doing even now, is celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, because he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the question is he Lord in your life? Multitudes, though, Pastor, that's the sad part, if you will, that's not good news that brings great joy to some people. To some people, they have disdain for the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are multitudes that simply disbelieve or refuse to embrace the fact that Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh. In fact, the Scripture tells us ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ is born, and that is he is Emmanuel, which is God with us. In fact, in the scripture that it talks about that, Pastor Davis, if you would take a moment and read that for us in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23.
Amen. Amen. He says here, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us."
God with us. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the fact that God left heaven's glory and came to earth's gloom in the form of a man. Emmanuel is God with us. Jesus Christ is God shrouded, robed in human flesh.
Amen.
And so that's the good news, the great joy. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Would love to hear from you today. How are you celebrating Christmas? What is a unique Christmas that you reflect on? How do you celebrate Christmas this Christmas season? Do you celebrate Christmas with family? Is it without family? How are you celebrating Christmas? What is the focus of this Christmas celebration in your home, in your family, in your life? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, some say that Jesus was simply a good example. Some say that Jesus was a good person. Some say that Jesus was simply a good teacher. Others say that Jesus is simply a mythological myth and not a real person, is not God come in human flesh. But ladies and gentlemen, it is with joy that we celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday. Just think about the fact that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. He is God. He's born of a virgin. And Pastor, this is one of the things that I believe is the key element. And my book, Could Jesus Sin, deals with the centrality of Jesus Christ being God. It deals with what is called the impeccability, that is, Jesus Christ is God, therefore it was impossible for him to sin.
Amen.
And the virgin birth makes that possible. And one of the greatest things that Satan attacks through the lost world, through the atheists, the agnostics, and the Jesus as God deniers, one of the greatest things that they attack is the doctrine of the virgin birth. If Jesus Christ was not virgin born, he is not very God. And therefore, that is the key element to who Jesus Christ is as we think about that subject today as we celebrate Christmas. He is virgin born, and yet he is totally sinless. In fact, in Matthew 1:21, a couple of verses before the one that you just read, the scripture says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It would be an impossibility. It would be an impossibility for Jesus' blood to be efficacious to save us from our sins if he were not God.
Amen.
But because the virgin birth, Jesus Christ is God to come into flesh. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 18, it talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that is the exegesis. He's the one that shows us who God is. In fact, in John 14, there was the question about who is God? Show us God. And Jesus said to Philip, "You've been with me all this time, and you don't know who God is? You've seen me, you've seen God." Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, and we celebrate that event. We celebrate his birth as we celebrate Christmas season. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with your question. Comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me good?
We can hear you. Go right ahead.
All right. The way that I celebrate Christmas is joy came to the world, and that joy is still here, even though it's dark, grimy, and has gone to hell on earth. That joy is still here. And every time I see a light, it reminds me of the flames that was in the upper room that fell upon the heads of those that was up there. And I thank God that joy came to this world, and the world can't take it away.
Amen.
Unless we give it away.
Terry, you might recall the song. It's a wonderful song with a wonderful truth. The kids used to sing in Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. I don't know if they still do, but back in my era, that was it. There was a song, "There's a joy, joy, joy." Where? Down in my heart. There's a joy, joy, joy,
yes.
Down in my heart. And, and that ought to be the way we view Christmas based on what the scripture says.
Amen.
Where the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people."
Yes.
It should be a joyful time. And I realize, Terry, just as you've said, and I am in full agreement, there's a lot of things that's dark in our world today, a lot of things that we see that's taking place that's devastating and that's tragic. But even in the midst of it all, even in the midst of the clouds, even in the midst of the storms, we can still celebrate Jesus' birth because he is Emmanuel, God with us. We have that joy of knowing that God is closer to us than our next breath through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes.
Terry, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and
Amen.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
And yours, too.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. How are you celebrating this Christmas season? Do you celebrate it as being the good news that brings great joy to all people? Or is there some rationale or reason that you should not be celebrating? Listen very carefully. I'm not talking about having a worry-free or an anxiety-free life. That generally is not going to take place in this world. But even in the midst of the storm, the trials and the difficulties we're faced with, we can have that joy in knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And if you're listening to me today and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, perhaps this Christmas season would be the very time that you'd say, "Lord Jesus, I recognize you as God come in the flesh to save me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you."
Amen.
"Because you died for me." Ladies and gentlemen, that is the great joy that is the good news to all people.
Amen.
That Jesus
Amen.
Christ is born.
Well, you know, the good part about that too, Dr. Youngblood, this joy that we have, we can share with others.
Amen.
I mean,
Christmas is the best season of the year to do
Amen.
That too.
Amen. It's not necessarily to where we have to give them a material gift.
That's right.
But if you share Jesus Christ with them, even if they don't know him, they can experience some of this joy that we have.
That's right.
You see, it's contagious. It catches.
It's contagious.
You know, and this is what I love about it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when we look at the way that Jesus was born, he wasn't just born to the haves so that they could have more.
That's right.
He was born so the have nots can have something.
That's right. Amen.
So I'm grateful for that. Because he wasn't born in a palace, like you said, he came here lowly.
That's right.
And he was born in a manger, in a barn.
That's
Amen.
Right. In a barn.
Praise God.
That's where lambs are born.
Amen.
It goes back to the text, and I read it a moment ago, that verse that I enjoy so much because it's so clear for what we're talking about, Matthew 1:21. "And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for," this little Greek word gar, "because he shall save his people from their sins."
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we celebrate today. There's some cults and some religions that will teach that Jesus is simply a man, that will say that Jesus is simply a good teacher, et cetera, et cetera. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is from the very beginning. John 1:1. Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am."
Amen.
In John 8:58. Jesus is saying that I predate Abraham.
Amen.
That is his it's dealing with, ladies and gentlemen, in that text in John 8:58. It's dealing with the preexistence of Christ. There's some that will teach, some religions that will teach, that Jesus Christ is simply a born human being, that he's simply a created fleshly person, that he's just like the rest of us. In fact, there's some that even teach that Jesus Christ, because he was human, had human flesh, they could have sinned. He just chose not to. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not correct. If Jesus Christ could have sinned, his blood would not be sufficient to be, would not be sufficient, efficacious, the term that is used theologically, to cover our sins. It takes the sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's poured out on Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine to be remitted. But it's because of Jesus Christ coming. He is God come in the flesh. So as we celebrate Jesus' birthday, Christmas celebration, let's consider who Jesus really is. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, his name's Jesus, and he's going to save us from our sins, according to the Scripture. But what are some of the names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus? Pastor, you read it a moment ago, and I'm just going to touch on it. I think one of the things that we start out with, because what I want us to do, ladies and gentlemen, is talk about some of the names of Jesus that's found in the Scripture.
Amen.
There are dozens and dozens and dozens of names that's given, allocated to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scripture. And I want us to look at some of those as time will allow us to on this broadcast today. And we invite your telephone call, 831-0917, 831-0917. Like to hear from you. What is your favorite name for Jesus according to the Scripture? Call us and share that favorite name that you know in the Scripture that's allocated to the Lord Jesus Christ that speaks of Him. Pastor, out of the 10 major doctrines that I teach in the college and the university, my favorite theological doctrinal teaching is Christology.
Amen.
Teaching about who Jesus Christ is. And when I think about that, we have to go back to the names given in the Scripture that then define for us who Jesus is and what he has done in his coming. And the first one that I enjoy and think is so praiseworthy is that his name is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us. Find in your Bible there, Pastor, if you would, John chapter 1, and read verse 18. That will be a good starting point. It is John 1:18, and it talks about what Jesus Christ has come to do. Read that verse for us, and let's talk about it a minute. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to dwell on the depth of each of the names. Time won't allow it. If we had 2 hours on the broadcast, we might be able to do a portion of that. But we're going to simply talk about the names of Jesus, inviting you to hear and to respond, perhaps asking questions and are joining the discussion on the names of Jesus and what would be your favorite one. Pastor, read that John 1:18.
Amen. So that's John 1:18.
Correct.
Okay. Says here, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him.
He had declared him. That word declare is the little word exegete. We got our word exegete, means to reveal, to show forth, to peel back the shroud and show. And it's the Scriptures literally saying there that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh to reveal God to man. You see, ladies and gentlemen, from Genesis 1:1 through the entire Bible, it is the progressive revelation of God to man that God's Word gives us. It's showing us, telling us, revealing to us who God is. And Jesus is the very personality that came into the world, took upon himself the form of man. Word form, there comes the Greek word morphe, M-O-R-P-H-E, pronounced morphe, means the, we get our word mannequin from that word. It means that Jesus Christ is in human flesh, but he is God shrouded in human flesh. His name is called Emmanuel, God with us. And then, Pastor, another one that is my favorite is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
He is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Read John 1:29.
Amen. John 1:29 says here, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, that means to take a good look.
That's right.
Uh-huh. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
He is the Passover Lamb, ladies and gentlemen, that shed his blood for our sins. And he takes away the sin of the world through his death, burial, and resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to complete the broadcast today right after the top of the hour news, and we invite you to call in 831-0917, and let's talk about the names of Jesus and what it means to you and how you're celebrating Christmas. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.